Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
This morning I want to speak from Isaiah chapter 40. I entitled my message, God is God. God is God. I mean, sometimes we have this tendency to put God and squeeze God into a box. And we have this tendency to make God the size of our capacity, the size of our mind. But Isaiah 40 tells us that God is God. Say amen to that. He's not a man that he will ever lie. God is God, and what he say, he will bring it to pass. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read from verse 27 to verse 31. I just think Isaiah 40, 31 is a verse that we all remember by heart. But I want to look at the passage. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to verse 31. Turn to your Bible or your iPad or your iPhone. You ready? I will read. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth, neither faint or is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings with eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words this morning, and we open our hearts to your words, and ask that your words of God, which is life, which is energy, which is strength, will energize our heart, that we may know you the way you desire us to know you, God. So Lord, we thank you for the time that we have. We ask this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. This passage that I just read, and especially verse 31. Verse 31 is another one of the most Bible verse that we quote very often. Among God's people, it's one of the very powerful verse that we quote. It's a verse of hope, a verse of promise, a verse of renewed strength. I love this verse. How many of you love this verse? Put up your hand. How many of you love this verse? I love this verse just like you do. But when you look at the background of this verse, the background of how it was given, you'll be amazed that behind this background, when this verse is given, when this passage is given, the background shows the goodness of God, the care of God, the providence of God, and the hand of God to those who put their trust and their hope in God. To be able to understand the power that is in this verse, you need to put your trust in God. You need to put your hope in God. Because I know one thing for sure, those that put their trust and their hope in God will never be ashamed, will never be disappointed. Isaiah 40, such a powerful chapter. In fact, if you look at the whole book of Isaiah, chapter 40 is a new chapter for the Israelite. From chapter 1 to chapter 39, Israel was going through a difficult period, a dark period. When you look at verse chapter 39, the word of the Lord came to King Hezekiah. The word came through his prophet Isaiah. And if you look at this passage, King Hezekiah was not like his father. Hezekiah's father was a bad king. He was a king that was wicked. He was a king that forsook God. He had no interest in God. He do whatever he want. That was what King Hezekiah's father was. But when Hezekiah became king at a very young age, he set his heart that he will not be like the father. You know something? People say, like father, like son. I hope you pick up the good things of the father and not the bad thing. So Hezekiah saw his father, how he is wicked, how he is evil, how he has forsook God. Hezekiah tell himself, when he becomes a king, he do not want to be like the father. He choose a different road, a different pathway. He choose to start well. He choose to be humble. And he choose to seek God. To seek God for himself and to seek God for the nation of Judah. One thing the Bible tells us very clearly, that whenever Hezekiah put God first, important, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. The Bible tells us very clearly that in the early days of King Hezekiah, when he put God first, it's a choice, putting God first. And you do not put God first just yesterday. You need to put God first what? Today. You need to put God first tomorrow. It's a continuous choice, a continual awareness in our heart and in our mind, in our choice, in our decision that I put who first? God first. Not my wife. God first. Not my children. God first. Not my business. God first. The Bible tells us very clearly that the secret of Hezekiah's prosperity, that he was successful and he was prosperous because he put who first? God first. That whenever he put God first, and it's a choice that he make, he put God first in everything he did. Not just being selective. Sometimes we want to put God first in the things that convenient us, that suit us. But the Bible tells very clearly that when Hezekiah put God first in everything, whether it's his own life, whether it's his home, whether it's his marriage, whether it's the affair of the nation, in everything, he put God first. Now, for you to put God first in everything, you need to what? Trust God. You need to trust God wholeheartedly. You need to hope on him wholeheartedly. That when he put God first in everything, the Bible clearly tells us, God bless him and God prosper him. The secret of being blessed, the secret of being prosper, the secret of being successful is to put who first? Is to put God first. Once Hezekiah was outnumbered, he was surrounded. The whole city was surrounded by the cruel and ruthless Assyrian. And when they surround the whole city, as usual, when you are surrounded, fear, anxiety, panic, all these negative emotions will come to the people of Israel. So when he was surrounded, the Bible tells us very clearly that he did not worry, he did not fear, he trusts God, and he prayed to who? He prayed to God. He prayed to the God who he believed, the God who had blessed him, the God who has prospered him, the God who he has served. You know one thing for sure, even you do what is right before God, trouble does come your way. Problem does come your way. You can never be insulated from a trouble-free world. So when all these things happened, the Bible tells, when he was outnumbered and surrounded by the enemy whose very intention was to destroy him and the people of Judah, he prayed to God. He prayed to God for help. And then he called the people, instead of worry, instead of fear, trust God for deliverance. That's one thing that every child of God, every of us here. God has given us the privilege to use our mouth to what? To pray. Use this mouth to pray. Don't use this mouth to confess fear. Don't use this mouth to confess negative things. Use this mouth to what? To pray. And so when he prayed to God and asked the people, let's trust God that God will deliver us. Our God hears our prayer. Our God heals, and not only he heals, God does not hear your prayer and fold your hand and think whether you are deserving of his help. God heals, and God stepped in, and God intervened. He was outnumbered, but because he prayed to God, and he asked the people to trust God for deliverance, at night, God visited the Assyrian camp. I tell you, when God visits the camp, how many of you like God to visit your house? You want him to visit you for good, not to visit you for judgment. And when God visited the Assyrian camp in the night, he took care of them, left, right, and center. He took care of these people. The Bible tells us 85,000 well-equipped and well-trained soldier of the Assyrian. While they were asleep, they never woke up. While they were asleep, God took care of them and they died in their sleep. The next morning, dead body was everywhere, and the Assyrian, who boasted that they could destroy Hezekiah and the nation of Judah, the Assyrian have no choice but to return home with their head down. Folks, trust God. Put your hope in God. When anything comes to your life, pray to God and believe him to deliver you. Say amen to that. And then one time, when Hezekiah was sick, how many of you have been sick before? Come on, put up your hand. If you are not put up your hand, means you are really super healthy. Everyone is sick, but there is some sick that is sick to death. And the one time, the Bible tells that Hezekiah was sick, and he was sick to death. That means this sick, he's not going to get well, he's going to die. But yet, he prayed to God. He prayed to God. Now, that's one thing I want to tell you, folks. When you are praying for someone who is sick, whether the person live or die, is not your decision. Your decision is to what? Is to pray. Your decision is to pray because God called us to pray. You know, pray that the person will be healed. You know, and sometimes God chooses not to heal the person. And this is a question that we can never answer. Only when we see God, then we know why. You see, and here, God told Hezekiah that he's going to die. You know, and he was doing very well. In fact, he was doing so well that God told him, he's sick, he's going to die. Maybe Hezekiah should say, well, God, my time is up. Maybe it's better for me to what? Go home. But he didn't. So he asked God. He prayed to God and asked God, and God gave him another 15 years. You would think, if he was a good king, he was going to die, and God gave him 15 years, he will be a what? A better king. It didn't happen that way. Somehow, success and prosperity with success and prosperity, Hezekiah got carried away and forgot the God who made him, the God who blessed him, the God who prospered him. And he came to a place that he thought that he did it himself. One day he chose to show off the wealth of the nation, the gold and the silver, to the Babylonians that visited him. And he showed it to them as if it belongs to him. He said, this is my treasure, my house, that everything I have belongs to me. Everything I have is because I did it. So easily, Hezekiah forgotten that he is not the owner of what is entrusted in his hand. He's a steward and always am a steward. Folks, God has blessed this house. I look at each one of you here, you are blessed. You have job, you have health, you have everything. I want you to encourage you. See them as a gift from God. See them that God has put it in your hand. You are not the owner, you are the what? The steward. Hezekiah forgotten that. He's not the owner, he's the steward. It's so easy for us to become like Hezekiah that we forget about God. Jesus talked about the parable of the rich fool. It's a very simple parable about this rich fool, you know, who came to a place where he said that, I will do this, I will do that. Whenever in your life, when you wake up in the morning and say, I will do this and I will do that, be careful. Be careful. You know, and this rich man said, I will do this, I will do that, I will, I will, I will. There was so much self-confidence, so much self-sufficiency that he thought that he was a self-made man. Like Hezekiah, like the rich fool, beware this attitude of pride, ungratefulness, and forgetfulness can happen to any one of us. Any one of us. Have you ever thought the sin of one man? One man's choice can affect others. Sometimes people think, what I do is my life. It only happened to me. You know, and me alone. That is self-deception. Always remember this. Every choice you make, every decision you make, not only affect you, it affects those that are close to you. For Hezekiah, the decision that he made when he showed his wealth, as if it belongs to him, as if he has attained it and got it all by his own effort, he never knew that it will affect him, his family, and the nation. You see, our choice and our decision is like a stone that is thrown into the water. It always has ripping consequences. I hope that you make the right choice and a good choice and you have a good ripping consequences. Because it does have. So Hezekiah never realized that. That when he showed his wealth to the Babylonian and said, look at what I have. Wow. He never knew that it was a slap to God and a slap to himself. This is where the prophet Isaiah came to him in Isaiah 39 verse 6. He came to him and tell Hezekiah, this is what is going to happen to you next. What is next for you and the people of Judah? In Isaiah 39 verse 6, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your father have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, say the Lord. So Isaiah came to him and said, look, Hezekiah, everything you have, what you have been blessed, what your father and your grandfather before you have been blessed, everything that has been accumulated. Accumulated. All this that you show to the Babylonian, it will be carried away. This is where Isaiah 40 comes in. From judgment, the message of hope. God do not always judge his people. Say amen to that. God always give us hope. Isaiah 40 is a message of hope that God will never leave his people high and dry without giving them comfort for pain, hope for restoration. And those that hope in him, those that trust in him, those that wait upon him will never be ashamed or disappointed. That's why Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to verse 31 was given to them and for us today, that in the midst of dark cloud, in the midst of stormy night, in the midst of uncertainty and difficult days, in the midst when nothing is happening, in the midst when things are not working out the way you expected. And in that time, what happened? Usually negative emotion. We all experience negative emotion. How many of you realize that? We all have negative emotion. And it comes. But the choice is, do I entertain negative emotion or do I reject negative emotion? And when all this negative emotion comes upon you, bombarding your mind, I want you to know, at such a time, you must trust God. Say amen to that. You must hold fast to His promises. Believe that the character of God never changed because God is God. Your problem does not make God smaller. Your need does not make God powerless. Your trouble does not turn God away. Your circumstances does not frighten God. Your pain does not make God careless. Your sin does not stop God from loving you. God is God. And He wants you to depend on Him, to trust Him, to wait on Him, and to hope in Him. This passage that we read, Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 31. There are three things you need to understand about God. That God is God. Firstly, that is, God is aware. God is aware. When negative feelings arises in you, whether it is in thoughts or in your heart, when they come and knock at your door, when doubt comes and knock at your door, and when you are tempted to say, my ways is hidden from the Lord, and my just cause, my just claim is passed over by God. One of the things that we can never understand, why bad things happen to good people. We can never understand. Another thing we can never understand is why I pray and pray and God still have not answered my prayer. I cannot understand when I cry for deliverance, God seems to take such a long time. When I cannot understand, and all this unhealthy and negative emotion of God do not know, God do not care, God do not see, God do not hear, you need to stop it. Say amen to that. Stop it, reject it, cancel it, because they are not from God. They are actual fact. And all broken down recorder from your own old mindset that is playing on you. How many of you have this problem before? Come on, put up your hand. It keep on playing and you don't play very good music. It doesn't play music that lifts up your soul. It plays music that brings you down and down and down. When all these things happen to you, this is what Isaiah replied. When you say that God, my way is hidden from you. When you say that God, my claim, you have overlooked. You're not hearing my pain. You're not hearing my problem, God. You're not hearing my prayer. Isaiah replied to you is this. This is simply not true. He said this. Why do you think that way? Why make such a reckless charge? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God. The everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. When you are in that situation, I want you to know that God is aware. God is aware. You know, when you are doing the wrong thing, you don't want God to be aware. But when you are in pain, when you are in trouble, when you are in need, when you need help, you want to know that God is aware of where you are and what is taking place in you. Sometimes we do say, God, don't you know? I want you to know. Isaiah said, don't say those things as if God don't care, that God do not know. God is aware. Nothing escapes His eyes and His ear. You cannot pull wool over God's eye. You cannot put cotton bark over His ear. God is not blind. God is not deaf. God cannot be bribed. Say amen. God cannot be bribed. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be fooled. He knows. He sees. He hears. Nothing is hidden from Him. The intents and the thoughts of your mind and your heart is an open book before God. God is aware of the past, of the present, of the future. God has a full view of what was, what is, and what will be. What happened to you yesterday? God is aware. What happened to you today and now, at this moment, what you're going through in your life with your own personal struggle, with your marriage, with your family, with your work, with every situation, whether it's finance or health, whatever it is, emotional or spiritual or physical, God is what? God is aware. God is aware. You see, we don't believe in a God that is distant. We believe in a God that is personal. God always tells Israel, why you serve the God of this world? The God of this world is idol. They have ears, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have mouth, but they don't speak. They have hand, but they don't touch. But why don't believe in me? That's what God always tells Israel. Believe in me, because I'm the God who is aware. I'm the God who cares. I have eyes, I see. I have ears that I hear. I have mouth that I speak. I have a hand that I touch. We have a very personal God. That God is aware. God is aware. That nothing happened to you without His knowledge. This is what Psalm verse 1, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. God knows the way of the righteous. Say amen. But you know that God also knows the way of the unrighteous. He knows. He's aware. Isaiah assures us that God is the everlasting creator, the powerful creator, the all-knowing creator. Not only He creates, but He sustains His creation with His full knowledge, with His unfailing wisdom, and His unlimited power. Each one of us sitting here, we are just a part of the big picture of His eternal plan and eternal purpose. And because He is aware, He is always working behind the scene. He will bring His goodness to all things and everything for His glory. Trust God. Wait on Him. Hope in Him. You may be surrounded with troubles and problems. You may be going through difficult times. Your needs, your bills, your frustration are mounting. Your strength is weak. Your faith is failing. You feel down and out and think that God has forgotten you. He seems so far away. He does not care. He has passed by you. But I want you to know this morning, God is aware. God is aware. God is aware of your presence. God is aware. God sees. God's here. And your life is not hidden from Him. The Bible tells us, when you were in your mother womb, He saw your formation, your breathing, your kicking, your stretching, your sleep, and your waking. That in the time when you're in your mother womb, God said, I already see you. I'm aware about you. God is aware. He assures you that He cares for the sparrow. He cares about the lily. He cares about His creation. He cares about you. You are made in His image. Even your hair is numbered. God is aware. I want you to take comfort that God is aware of anything and everything, including you. And if God is aware, what am I going to do? Well, this is what you can do. Rest and relax in His awareness. Don't worry. The second thing from this passage is God is not only aware, God is able. I know people who are aware. They are aware of what you're going through, aware of your needs and struggle, aware of your pain and sorrow, aware of your frustration and failure. They are aware. And they are not only aware, they feel for you. They sympathize with you. They even cry with you. You cry, they cry. You rejoice, they rejoice. These are people who love you and they are there for you. But they are aware. But they have no ability, no capacity, no power to do anything for you. They can only be there as an emotional support. They can only be there to hear so that you can offload your burden, your trouble, and your pain to them. And they say, yes, I know, but they cannot do anything for you. They can pray for you. But when they pray for you, who are you depending on? On God. God is not only He is aware. God is able. His ability has no limitation. His ability has no restriction. His ability has no boundary. His ability is not constrained by nature, by space, or time. He is the all-powerful God, the all-present God, the all-knowing God who was and who is to come. And the Bible tells us that God is not only able, He is never weary, tired, or faint, because He is God, and God is God. You know, but sometimes, unconsciously, it's so easy for us, in our own weariness and weakness, that we think that God is like us. We project us to God. Well, I'm like that, so God must be like that. Let me tell you, God is never like you. Say amen to that. And I'm glad He's never like you. I'm glad He's never like me, because I have up and down. I have strength and weakness. God has only strength. He has no weaknesses. Our God, He is able. He neither faint or weary. His ability is seen in the depth of His power. And when you understand God's power, His power is overwhelming, overflowing, and oversurplus. We are talking of a God that is not just abundant, but super abundant. Don't think of God like you. You grow weary, you grow faint, you grow tired, but now God say amen. And God is never weary or faint about your prayer or answering your prayer. When it comes to the covenant promises of God that is in the Bible, God is never weary or tired to fulfill those promises of yes and yes and amen. That's why you can go to Him all the time, every time, because God is never tired. He does not say, you again. Yesterday it was you. The other day it was you. Today is still you. God is not like that. We are. Don't project who we are about God. God is able to give and keep on giving. He's able to love and keep on loving. He's able to forgive and keep on forgive, because there is no searching of His understanding. The Bible tells us that God is able. His thought is higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly in this passage that God never lacks power. His ability is never short. He never lacks power. Not only He never lacks power, He supplies what? Power. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak. And those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Even young men get tired and faint. Some may even utterly fall. But the Creator, the God who we believe, will never grow tired, weary, or faint. Say amen to that. So, he gives power. You need strength? He said, I give you strength. You need power? I give you power. When Isaiah used the word that God gives power, there is the same Hebrew word that used in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you what? Power. It's the same Hebrew word. When Isaiah said that God give you power, this is the same Hebrew word that Moses used, that God give you power. Power to be successful. Why does he give you the power to be successful? Power to get wealth. That he may confirm his covenant. That he has sworn to his father as he is to this day. That whenever God gives you power to be successful, power to overcome, power to be saved, there are power to live, power to do, and power to be. It is an expression of God fulfilling his covenant. His covenant that he make to you. So Isaiah said that God give that power. And he willingly give that power to those who trust in him, to those that wait in him, and those that hope in him. I like what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And Paul put it so powerfully. He phrased it so wonderfully concerning the ability of God. And he used it about it in his own life. He said this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that working in us. This is Paul saying about his own personal experience. Paul did go through tough time. This is what Paul said concerning God is able. In Paul's disappointment, God is able. In his need, God is able. In difficulty, God is able. In weakness, God is able. In protection, God is able. In provision, God is able. In all things and everything, God is able. God is able anywhere, everywhere, God is able. And Paul said this way, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of things. Nothing is too hard for God. God is able. Today, let the ability of God give you light in your darkness, joy to your sorrow, hope to your hopelessness, strength to your weariness, because God's ability, this is what God's ability, he said, I give you power. The power is not floating in the air. The power is within where? Within you. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I give you power, and the power is within you, and the power is working in you. So when the power is working in you, there is the strength and the ability to be able to stand and say, I'm empowered to believe, to proclaim, and to live in the power of God. No lack, no weariness, no tiredness, no discouragement. God is able. I tap into the unlimited power of God and I say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. The power is in you. God is able. Don't live substandard. Don't live below what God can do for you. God is aware. God is able. And lastly, God is what? God is available. Our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, may be aware of your need. He may be able to help your need. But the question is he available to you? They are always, all the MPs, Minister of Parliament, even the Prime Minister, they always put a phone number that you can call. Try calling the number. You call him and you go through his stuff. You call him and the message is press 1, press 2, press 3, press 4. And then the message says, if you are not sure, you want to hear again, press star. Go back to the same thing. How many of you have gone that through that? Not our God. Our God is available 24/7. He neither sleep or slumber. He has an open door policy. God's open door policy is call me. Any day, anytime, anywhere. God is never busy. His line is never busy. You don't have this power failure on the switchboard. You don't have this problem that so many people call that the computer crash. God don't have this problem. Say amen. He's available to any of us who is willing to call on him. And when you call him, he do not say to you, press button 1, button 2, or button 3. Wait and wait. And one of the things I hate most is that you are on the phone for half an hour and all of a sudden in your waiting, what happened? The line got disconnected. Oh. And the other thing I cannot stand about phone is this. You call and they say, please say in a few words what you want. How many of you got that before? And I say, the reply, I don't understand you. Say in a few words again. And I say, again, you know what I do? Don't you understand English? But that's not God. God is international. You can pray in English, Chinese, Indian, whatever language you want. God hears. He doesn't need to go to the interpreter. And that's a wonderful thing about God. He's available 24/7. You know. And he asks you to call. You have a direct line to him. This direct line is what the Bible says. The new and the living way in the new covenant because of Jesus Christ. He said, then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you'll give me glory. Why does God want you to call? So that he can show who he is, so that you will give who? Give glory to him. And again, God calls us. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. When they call. Don't stand before God one day and say, why didn't you call? God is available. And because we are not always available. And we are seldom available. And we choose to be available or not. Because of who we are, we think God is the same. God is not the same. He is always available. Never like us. He is just a call, a whisper, a shout away from those who trust him, those who wait upon him, and those who hope in him. I thank God that when Peter was drowning into the sea, he just called, help me. He didn't do his Lord's prayer. He didn't go to a long prayer. He just helped me. The availability of God is call. A word a cry, a shout. Why? Because he is aware. Say amen. He is aware. And he said, call, and I will renew your strength. But those who wait, those that trust, those that hope on the Lord, shall renew their strength. This is his promise to us. And Jesus Christ again reaffirmed this promise in where? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus said, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. Some of us need to recover our joy, our life, our peace. Jesus said, call, come to me. You'll recover what you have lost. You'll recover your life, and I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Wow. Grace has rhythm. Some of us are a bit out of rhythm. God said, come to me and experience this unforced rhythm of grace. You don't have to force grace on you. Grace is there for you. Experience my grace working in you. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. God is available. He said that he will renew your strength. Say amen. And then Jesus said, yes, if you want to renew your strength, come and walk with me. Come and learn from me. And when you do that, you will experience the rhythm of my grace. And when you experience, you will walk and live what? Free and light. Today, you are heavy burden, you should be free. Christian, God's children, why carry the burden of life when God said, let me carry it for you? Why carry guilt when God said, give it to me? Why carry financial crisis and problem when God said, give it to me? You see, we have a God who opened his hand and said, come on, give it to me. And some of us want to say, no, God, it's too precious. I hold it too much. I cannot give it to you. I just want to hold it. Come on. If you want to hold it, don't bring God if you are struggling. He said, come, give me. Give me, I'm available to take it. But God, if you take gym problem, are you able to take hoping problem? Are you able to take grand problem? Are you able to take my problem? Because you limit God. God is what? God. I'm available. Come to me. So when Isaiah gives this news, this passage, that the day will come when God will visit them. The day will come when they are in the faraway country called Babylon. The news will come that the Jews will be able to return back to their homeland. And I'm sure that when they hear those news that we can go back, we can go back. When they hear that news, wings of eagle comes to them. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. In the same way, God is aware, God is able, and God is available to step into your world. Your world. Let me tell you, your world is not my world. Your world is not my world. We all have a world. a world of challenges, a world of difficulties, a world of need. We all are different. Sometimes we say, why does this one trouble this person? When it doesn't trouble me, because it's not in your world. When God stepped into your world, and you want Him to step into your world, because He said, I'm aware, I am able, I want to step into your world, I'm available. And when God steps into your world, I tell you, your world change. When He stepped into your world, you will be able to fly and soar with eagle wing. When He stepped into your world, you will be able to run without weariness. When He stepped into your world, you will be able to walk without failing. We need God to step into our world. Some of you may say, Pastor, how do you manage doing so much? I don't have Sabbath. I work 7 days a week. I find rest every now and then. I'm in Nolamara, I'm in Osonpa, I'm here and there. How do you manage? How old am I now? I have crossed 60. It should be a time where I should be gearing down for what? Retirement. But what is the difference? Where do I find the strength and the power? Comes from God. When God steps into your world, He will make you fly. He will make you walk. And He will make you run. When God steps into your world, no matter what season of life you are in, whether it's summer, spring, winter, or autumn, no matter what situation you are in, good or bad, whatever challenges before you, big or large, because God stepped into your world, He said, I give power to those that need power. I give strength to those that need strength. Because when you trust in me, when you tap into me, when you call into me, you will be able to fly. Say amen. And for those that are able to fly, enjoy your success, but remember, God is the one that gives you power to be what? Successful. The reason you are flying is because God given you the power to soar. Don't forget. Don't forget. Because when you forget God, you will lose height and come tumbling down. And when you come tumbling down, the landing will be hard. Hear this. First, pride. Then, the crash. The bigger the ego. And I'm telling you, some people, their ego is so big. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. I want to be able to say, and I want every one of you to be able to say, I'm successful because of God. I'm blessed because of God. I'm prosper because of God. I'm healthy because of God. Everything that I have is because of who? God. So that when I saw up there, I don't want to forget about the God who has made me, who has created me, who has prospered me. I don't want to learn the hard lesson of being kicked down from up there to hit the ground floor. He gives strength to you to be a runner. To the runner, thank God you are still running the race. It's not how you start, but how you end. And to those who are running, may I tell you one thing. You are not the only one running on the lonely road. Say amen. You are not the only one running on the lonely road. There are others running before you. There are others running with you. There will be others running after you. They are called the great crowd of witnesses. Declaring, calling you, run well, run straight, run forward, and finish the race. Just keep running and running and running till you finish the race and finish the race well and strong. God said, I give you strength. I give you power to be like the eagle that goes up in the air. I give you power to be the one that is running. And to some of us, I don't like height. Some people is afraid of flying, you know that? I don't like height. Running, I don't like. Sweat too much when you run. I just want to walk. To those who are walking, my answer to you, God give you power to walk. How fast can you walk? One step at a time. When you put every step forward, say amen. When God empower you to walk, it's not walking one. Walking backward is not God empowering you. You empower yourself. When God empower you, He makes you to what? Walk forward. One step, and one step. And you may say, God, what is one step? What is one step? Let me tell you what is one step. How do you climb the highest mountain in this world? Mount what? Everest. You see? Yeah? How you climb the highest mountain? How many steps at one time? One step. And God is saying, don't see that when I empower you, you are not in the air, you cannot run, you are just walking. Remember this, the walk is one step, but one step can make you climb the highest mountain. Don't despise the one step at a time. One foot forward at a time. For you who are young parents, the joy that you have when you see your child first standing up, then taking what? How many steps? How many of you, when your children start, they run before they walk? They what? They walk. One step. The one step is the step can be your breakthrough. One step closer to God. One step closer to obedience. One step closer to loving. That one step can be your miracle. One step. I like the story of the tortoise and the rabbit. Who finished the race? The turtle. How many steps did the turtle have? Tortoise. How many steps did the tortoise have? One step at a time. God is aware whether you are a flyer, a runner, or a walker. He gives power to the weak, to the weary, and to the faint-hearted. He gives you power to saw and keep on sawing. He gives you power to run and keep on running. He gives you power to walk and keep on walking. Enoch walked with God till he came to God. He gives you that power. This morning, God is God. Let's trust Him. Amen? Let's trust Him. Let's wait on Him. Let's hope in Him. When you look at the word trust, wait, and hope, there's only one word behind that. To trust God is to obey Him. Say amen. To wait on God is to obey Him. To hope on God is to obey Him. Why don't we have communion this morning?
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.